Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your 11 o'clock keyword to cash is...
basketball. B-A-S-K-E-T-B-A-L-L. When I have to think about how to spell it, that's not a good day.
Basketball.
Basketball. Text it to 72881 for a chance at $1,000 in this national contest. Message and data rates may apply.
Joining us in studio right now, he is, I don't know what the countdown exactly is, but I do know that he's got the same countdown app that former Mayor Sly James has. He has been the city manager in Kansas City for the last 10 years. We welcome Troy Schulte in studio. Troy, thank you so much for the time. We definitely appreciate it. Are you counting down days, hours, minutes?
I am. I was, once I made my announcement, I've gotten several former council members and former Mayor James were quick to share their app with the countdown clock. So.
You guys just passing that
thing
around?
I think it's 142 days, but who's counting, you know? So,
are you as excited about the end of your term as Sly James was?
I'm a little bittersweet, you know, because we've really gotten a lot done with the city, and I've had the good fortune of working with Mayor James and a lot of great city council members and a lot of great city staff. And that's what I'm going to miss is, you know, missing working with my colleagues. But I also think it's 10 years is a long time. I always say it's 70 years in dog years, but who's counting? And, you know, the city's gotten a lot done. It's progressed. I think we've gone through a transformation over the last decade. And I hope it continues. I think it's just the perfect time for me to transition out, let Mayor Lucas bring in his team the way they want to go, and I go off and do something else. And I think it's a good time for the city to just say, one checklist is done, a to-do list is done, and now it's time for someone else to develop a new to-do list and move forward and implement it.
10 years ago, did you think that we would have the airport plan in place, the streetcar where it is, one light, two light, three light? Like, when you think about what has happened, and we'll get into some of this stuff individually, but on the grand scheme, did you ever envision Kansas City would look this way in 2019?
No, I didn't. I've just been amazed at the investment. And I can remember back having a conversation prior to 2011 with a regional transit group, and they saying, well, what about a streetcar? I said, oh, good luck with that. You know, every election we had tried had failed. But it was amazing what new leadership was able to bring in and a dynamism that I think the city sorely needed, and then capitalize on some investments. Mayor Barnes started it by spent about $1 billion downtown in public investment, and that was a good catalyst, and we've been able to leverage off of that moving forward. So I didn't realize it would take off the way it has. We still a lot more work to do. That's why I get frustrated when I hear people say, well, downtown's done and the city's done. We've gotten everything done. The cities that we're competing with, the regions we're competing with, are continuing to make investments that grow their economy. And the city has got to keep doing that. And the region's got to keep doing it. So I hope they continue to do that, leverage off what we built and solve other issues. The problems we're dealing with now are good problems to have. They're completely different than, you know, 20 years ago when I started with the city, I couldn't break a $5 bill after work to ride the bus home when I was an entry-level budget analyst.
At 5:15
on a Tuesday night in downtown Kansas City, there was nothing open. So that's how far we've come just in 20 years.
It's great to hear about the progress in the city, but sometimes we get frustrated. I'll speak for Wicket and I, and sometimes when we talk about this, that the city is not progressive enough sometimes, that the people here, we joke about this, that people didn't love the streetcar until way after we got it. Everybody fought it, and then everybody loved it. And I think KCI is going to be the same way. I think everybody that is worried about it and complaining about the single terminal is going to love it. So we're progressive, but sometimes people complain that the city just doesn't move quickly enough.
I would agree with that. I think it takes strong leadership at City Hall and in the civic community to push those agendas, because I think there's a certain comfort level, a satisfaction level, if you will, that things are pretty good in Kansas City. It's a good quality of life, very affordable cost of living. You know, we've got a violent crime issue. Well, we've had a violent crime issue in this city for decades. Some of these things appear to be, you know, intransigent, but there's a, you know, I think we have to push back against that. Well, things are good enough, and this is about as good as it's ever going to get. And we got to keep pushing those conversations. And that comes down to good leadership, setting the agenda, getting partnerships with the business community, going out and telling the residents. I mean, all the drama about KCI, and yet 76.4% of the voters approved it. You know, and everyone said, oh, they'll never approve it. And streetcar, they'll never get it approved. You'll never get it built. Now it's one of the most successful streetcar systems in the country. Infrastructure bonds. Oh, you'll never get property taxes to go up necessary to fix the infrastructure. And two-thirds of the residents voted for that. So if there's good leadership in place and people willing to tell a story, the city will respond. But it's not like it's you got to tell them the story and you got to convince them.
Why do you think that the trends bucked what all the predictions were?
I think it was an opportunity when I think there was a certain sense of pride, and we were kind of going back. I saw Mayor James yesterday, and you know, I think it started with, you know, we got an interesting opportunity with Google Fiber was the first one back in 2011. That was a national process, and us and KCK were the first that had been selected for that, and that kind of made people go, huh, there's something unique about us. And then I think we followed it up with a very successful Major League Baseball All-Star game in 2012, and people really started to take some pride in that. And then I think it's just been a culmination of small victories or other issues. You know, anybody that tells you that Major League Sports does not have extrinsic value when they talk about pride in a community has never won a World Series, I will tell you that. Because, you know, 800,000 people downtown – in a Tuesday in November, and I think that was. And now you talk to everybody. Well, I was downtown. You know, you talk to about 1.5 million people, and they were all downtown. But those are the kind of things we just have been able to build off and leverage off of those. And I think that's been changing the culture and the confidence level. And I think we just got to keep that going.
Can we talk for a minute about the role of the city manager for people who may not understand exactly what the difference is between what the city manager does and what the mayor does? And I ask in part because cities kind of run different models on this. Sometimes it's a really strong city manager form, and sometimes the city manager is more of a day-to-day administrator but doesn't have a lot of power. What's your opinion on the level of power that your office has, not just you, and whether you think that should stay the same for whoever replaces you?
The city manager has a great deal of power in Kansas City in terms of responsibility for day-to-day operations, hiring and firing of the city staff. But it has to be done in partnership. The city manager cannot do it anymore by themselves. You've got to have a partnership with a city council that can reach consensus on where they want to go, and most importantly, a mayor that is going to set an agenda that can unite the community. I've been in environments as city manager where the mayor and the city council were in bipolar opposites. They're not going to agree on what day of the week it was, and it's tough for anybody sitting in the role of city manager to try to bring them together and forge a common agenda and get it implemented. So you've got to have a city council, a city manager, and a mayor all working in the same direction. Otherwise, it's a recipe for paralysis.
Is that what we have right now?
I think we've had it. I think going forward, I think it's going to be interesting as Mayor Lucas tries to get his new team in place, forging a relationship with the city council. But it's very important. If you look at our peer cities, Nashville, Minneapolis, there's been that long-term linkage between the direction of the civic community, the business community, the direction of the city council, the direction of the mayor, and the direction of the residents. And when they do that, they become a progressive. They start tackling some of these types of issues. And sometimes Kansas City has always wanted to kind of fight over their little power structures, as Mayor Funkhauser used to call this city is rife with the little cul-de-sacs of power. Well, they can be impediments to getting things done if you let them.
Troy Schulte, outgoing city manager of Kansas City, joining us here in studio. If you have questions, text them in, 22980. Also, we're up on Facebook Live. After the quick break, we'll give you that keyword to cash again. Also, we are going to talk about Troy's relationship with Sly James. When did they work well together? And when did they butt heads? That'll be on the other side. And by special request, we will talk about a downtown baseball stadium with Troy coming up here on 98.1 KMBZ. Joined in studio for a few more minutes by outgoing. I don't know if he likes that term, but outgoing city
lame
manager.
Duck.
I love it.
Is that better?
Clicking timer. I don't know. City manager Troy Schulte is with us here from Kansas City. We're glad to have him here. You've worked with three mayors as a city manager. Mayor James taking up the majority of your time. You were 10 years in. What was working with Sly like, and what was the best and worst thing that you guys either succeeded on or butted heads on?
Well, Sly was always kind of a man in a hurry. He recognized he had 8 years, 4 years, and then another four to try to get some stuff done, and he was always pushing to get issues done. And I think I had a great working relationship with him. We had a lot of fun. I think we laughed as much as we worked on issues, just telling stories and complaining about life in general and people that we were interacting with. There was a lot of laughter in the mayor's office or in the manager's office. We had a very open door relationship. I'd walk into his meetings. He'd walk into my meetings. He'd always have more entertaining things to say in my meetings than I would in his meetings. But, you know, it was a great working relationship, and we had a good working relationship between, at least, especially in the first 4 years of with Mayor James, with the city council. He had that huge alignment of everybody pulling in the same direction. And I think that whether it was the convention center hotel, it was getting KCI going, streetcar, all of those issues came because everybody was aligned to do those types of issues. So part of, I think, probably the biggest component where we clashed was he was always a man in a hurry. And I kept saying, sometimes you got to slow down. Whether it's pre-K or the streetcar, I think sometimes you got to kind of realize the lay of the land in Kansas City, and there's speed is a virtue, but sometimes you can be too fast, moving too fast, and it's hard to get people brought along as quickly as you want. These conversations about infrastructure, convention center, hotel, and the airport took years to have those conversations, and that always frustrated him because he was like, let's go. We've got a short window. Let's get this stuff done.
We'll get to the downtown stadium prospects here in a second, but I want to get to a question on the text line. There's a lot of discussion right now about public transit, about the idea of buses being free for everybody, expansion of the streetcar. And somebody asked this question: what are the chances of Johnson County being able to have a public rail system that would tie in with the downtown streetcar system?
Well, they have talked about it in Johnson County for a number of years, like a commuter rail system that runs along I-35 that connects into Union Station. Those tracks connect. You know, my sense is as the streetcar moves south and becomes more than just a downtown issue and becomes more of a transit spine, you'll start to see those conversations. We were privy to a conversation when Mayor McConnell was in Mission, Kansas, saying, I'd love to get a streetcar line and push it, or a light rail line and push it along Shawnee Mission Parkway into Kansas. So I think once the city builds its main streetcar, you'll start to see those conversations. How do we make that a more of a regional system? And Johnson County is now participating much more actively in the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority than they did 10 years ago. They used to kind of run their own bus system.
Why is that?
Well, I think they kind of recognize the regional benefit of having a system that allows people to get on a bus in downtown Kansas City and go to Olathe, not have to worry about a common marketing and a common fare structure and a common all of those advantages work from a regional system. And so I think there's less of a separation with Johnson County from Kansas City, Missouri, than there was 10 years ago. And I think we've just got more opportunities. I think that's why I think that border war truce is so huge. If once we realize that we start, Kansas City's competition isn't Olathe, Kansas, and Olathe's competition isn't Overland Park or Kansas City, Missouri. Our competition is Austin, Denver, Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., those are the types of conversations the region ought to be having. And I've always said, if you can land 150 jobs in Olathe, Kansas, guess where they're going to want to go on the weekends? They're going to want to go out to dinner. They're going to go to the Performing Arts Center. They're going to go to Bartle Hall. They're going to go to the Sprint Center. They may live in Kansas City because they want the urban environment and commute back. So to me, it's all good.
The question comes in every time we have any city official in Downtown Baseball Stadium. Thoughts on moving the K or getting out of Kauffman Stadium and building a new one downtown?
Well, I think that conversation, I know it's probably a more radioactive issue than even KCI was, but I think that conversation is going to come to the region anyway. When you think about it, those leases are up in 2031, and that will make those stadiums 60 years old. And so I think it's a conversation. Do you renovate a 60-year-old stadium?
Gee, this sounds familiar.
Or do you build a new stadium still out and it's disconnected from everything else in the metropolitan area? So the only way you can get to the Truman Sports Complex is by occasional bus service or an automobile. And so that's a huge issue that we've got with the World Cup is the FIFA folks come in and go, well, how are you going to get your people from the Country Club Plaza and Overland Park and downtown Kansas City out to the, well, you're going to have to get buses or closing the interstate. And that's a huge issue. So we've got to probably concentrate our assets going forward. But it's going to be an expensive conversation, but we're dealing with 60-year-old stadiums in 2031. That planning horizon's open. It'll be interesting what the new ownership group does of the Royals, but yeah, we can just deal with it. It's coming.
Can you stick around for 10 more minutes? I see Jamie on the side of my eye.
I got
30 questions we still want to fire with you. We know we only bargained for a half hour. Can you stick for 10 more
I'd
minutes?
I'd be happy to.
Fantastic. I can see it in your
text
eye,
line.
Jamie.
I got text line going on.
I imagine
so,
you do.
22980. Questions for outgoing city manager Troy Schulte. He is in studio. He is going to stay longer than we agreed upon, and we thank him for that.
We asked him, put him on the spot on the air.
There was no way he was going to say no. It is almost 11:30. Dan Weinbaum is in the KMBZ newsroom. Taking your questions, bonus segment in studio, the outgoing city manager of Kansas City, Missouri, Troy Schulte, is with us. 22980. And we were just talking a little bit about baseball stadium potentially being downtown. And I know we said we were going to move on. But the big question concern that comes in all the time, Jamie, is parking.
I just have to read you my favorite text of the day. Yeah. I'm going to assume this person is playing with us, okay? But I'm going to give credit
just,
where this is due.
Just a troll job?
Yes.
All right.
Hoover Dam is more than 60 years old, and it is still good and made of concrete like the stadium.
Okay.
It's my favorite. Thank you for the joke. I got a good laugh out of it.
My God.
So we were talking about parking, because that's the first thing that people freak out about, is whether there will be enough parking, oh my gosh, for the downtown stadium. Yes. We're good on the parking.
Yes, we're good on the parking. In fact, I think a recent census count shows that there are as many spaces downtown or in the crossroads than there are at the Truman Sports Complex currently. So existing parking spaces.
Even without creating a new structure next to a beautiful, shiny new baseball stadium, there is more parking downtown right now than there is at the stadiums.
Yes, in fact, there's an interesting map that we need to dust off in this conversation. If you overlay the map of the map of the Truman Sports Complex, it will be larger. The current footprint of the Truman Sports Complex is larger than the downtown loop within Kansas City, Missouri. So it's potential that you will walk further from your vehicle to the stadiums at the Truman Sports Complex than you would if you were in downtown Kansas City.
I love that. That is it right there. That's it. And you will be building, if this does come to fruition, and you're not going to be in the position for this, but there will be structures built, so you will only have to walk maybe half a block. Because, by the way, I've parked at Arrowhead and had to walk for 15 minutes to get to my... And that's even without drinking. That's just a straight line sober.
Without losing your car?
Right.
And circling the parking lot?
That can take you a long time.
Well, and the other option is you may be able to park at the Country Club Plaza and hop on the streetcar.
Oh.
And get off within a block or two. I mean, those are the types of issues. Yeah. When you look at what other cities are doing, they not only have close-in proximity parking, but they have public transportation that it makes it easy to get in and out of the city.
It has just been seemingly, and I know I'm kind of new around here, only been here for 4 years, but it has just been, we don't like new idea gets done, and people are like, you know what? The new idea was really
a good idea.
You know?
Yeah.
The Kansas Speedway, Sprint Center, streetcar, all of these things. People are like, we don't need that. They'll never succeed. Oh, my God. I can't imagine Kansas City without them. And a baseball stadium would be neat.
Troy, what is the future of First Friday? Let's talk and turn talking about crime here a little bit. When Mayor Lucas had to come in, we had just a lot. We had a string there going, and then we had the First Friday. There was another murder in Kansas City last night. What's the future of First Friday?
I think it's going to get scaled back. I think you saw in October kind of a refocusing on kind of the arts, and it'll be a smaller. There'll be probably more street performers than there were in the September when they were kind of restructuring the whole. The business community, the artistic community in the crossroads had gotten uncomfortable even before the unfortunate shooting.
It was getting away from arts.
It was getting away. It was getting too big. It was becoming a larger street party in it. So I think this will allow it to get back to more of its focus. It'll be less about just the sheer number of 20, 25,000 people roaming the streets and much more focused on it, and maybe end up getting back to its roots. And it used to be 10 years ago, it was kind of a fun thing to walk down there on the first Friday and walk into the galleries and sample wine and cheese and look at the art and have some conversations. It got a little, it got away from its kind of its core base. And so I think this was an opportunity. It was an unfortunate situation, but I think it allowed Crossroads to kind of refocus that, make it a more organic and more back to what the Crossroads was, which was our arts district.
Talking with City Manager Troy Schulte. He is on his way out. He's got the countdown clock coming up in February. It will hit zero. But when you look 10 years from now, when the city, maybe the next city manager is there for 10 years like you, what will Quentin Lucas's Kansas City look like versus the end of Mayor James' Kansas City?
Well, I think, and I think the atmosphere is right for us to see a significant redevelopment on the east side, even more than you're seeing now. You know, it's been interesting to see the kind of the conversations about Troost revitalization. 10 years ago, there was no development on Troost. Now there's a significant amount of development. I love the when the Star blasted us for the Denverization of Troost Avenue. And, you know, they talk about gentrification. We haven't, I don't think we've displaced anybody on Troost Avenue. We've just filled up some vacant lots and put people back where there, put investment where there was no investment. I think you'll see, hopefully, that continue, that redevelopment happening to the east. Still have stuff going on in downtown, still have stuff redeveloping in Midtown, but more importantly, kind of reclaiming those near east side neighborhoods. We've still got, you know, we still have, I think, 5,000 vacant homes in this city. That's down from maybe 20,000 during the depths of the Great Recession. So we still, and you can still get a good home that would, if it were in Johnson County, would be a $500,000 home. You can still buy them for $40,000 or $50,000. But they may be around Prospect Avenue. And I think those are opportunities other people start to see. What I hope is that you get a further reinvestment in those near east side neighborhoods, and it's more of a mixed income issue. For I think one of the big mistakes the city made, and it goes back decades, is we concentrated our problems and we concentrated our poverty, and then expecting all this to magically solve it. You've got to kind of make sure that there are positive means of investment. You don't put your salvage yards into quality neighborhoods and expect the neighborhoods to be able to withstand that. You've got to clean up some of the stuff we've done, unfortunately, over the last 40 to 50 years. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take a lot of money to clean up those issues. But I think it's right for, there's now a demand for people to be in and around downtown, Midtown, Kansas City. So having downtown get pricey, getting expensive, is, I think, a good opportunity for our near east side neighborhoods to be the beneficiaries of that with further investment.
One of the big priorities for Mayor Lucas has been more affordable housing downtown and clarifying exactly what affordable means. Do we have enough affordable housing, and what is affordable? What should it mean in terms of incentives?
Well, and I think the wrestling issue is by what definition mm-hmm. is it affordable?
Right.
When you look at Kansas City on a national level, we're still an exceptionally affordable place to live. Even our most expensive housing is still very affordable vis-a-vis our peers. You know, I can remember probably about 7 years ago, you could rent an apartment in downtown Kansas City for less than $1 a square foot.
Wow.
And I can tell you Minneapolis, Denver, those are Chicago, those are $3, $4, and $5 a square foot. San Francisco, L.A., New York, they're running $10 a square foot. So there are crises, and then so what we've got to figure out is what sort of affordable housing do we want? And I think the consensus is we need very low-income housing, and it's going to be expensive. It's about $225,000 a unit, whether you build market-rate housing or whether you build low-income housing. It's about $225,000 a unit to build it. You're not getting any money from the state. They have eliminated their low-income housing tax credits. The federal funds aren't there. So how are you going to – it's going to take expensive money to build housing. My sense would be let's fix sidewalks and try to get people to reinvest in these single-family homes that we still have a lot of that are vacant or underutilized or underpriced in the urban core and make that an opportunity to build on. So it'll be depending on kind of where that community conversation goes. I mean, we get distracted by one light, two light, and three light, but my argument is that's kind of made downtown very a vital place, and it's made the surrounding neighborhoods much more attractive because they can say, well, I want to be 3 minutes from downtown. I may work downtown, and I want to be 5 minutes from downtown Kansas City, I can't afford to be in the Crossroads or in Midtown, but I can afford to be in West Paseo or in Skerritt Renaissance or Independence Plaza. I get all the benefits. And so that's kind of the issue of how do we struggle? How do we meet that issue?
You were city manager for 10 years. Now what?
I don't know.
Vacation?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, my wife, I said I kind of look forward to taking my kids to more sporting events. I think my wife is basically going to give me a long weekend before she throws me back out of the house. So it'll be fun just to kind of do something different. I've been in the public sector for 20 years with about over 25 years. So it's time for me to do something different. And I think I can honestly say, I think I've left the city with a whole lot of work by elected council members and some great city staff. We've left the city in better shape than we found it. And so it's a good time for me to kind of ride off into the sunset and do something different. And what that is, who knows?
You know, Sly's got a consulting firm now.
He does. I saw him yesterday. He seems to be enjoying it. Yes. He says everything's rainbows and lollipops out there.
I'm sure he's in demand. I'm sure he could use the help.
Somebody wanted us to get a Funkhauser story out of you.
Sure. You know, it was actually Mark, Mayor Funkhauser actually put me in my job back in 2009, and I had worked with him for a number of years. He is when you get him away from the environment, he didn't really relate well with the public role of the mayor, kind of going out and shaking hands and kissing babies. That wasn't his guy. But you get him away from an environment, he was a great guy that you could just have a beer with and, you know, and solve all the problems of the world. He was very passionate about Kansas City. I think he would recognize it wasn't a good fit for him in that particular role. He didn't have the personality that allowed him, but he was really a great guy and was really passionate about the city. And really, I think we're the beneficiaries of, we started some of that restructuring, fixing some of our budget issues, our structural problems, dealing with it during the Great Recession when Mayor Funkhauser was there, and he let us do that. He said it's important for us to do that. And I think the city's the beneficiary of that work that was started under Mayor Funkhauser, continued under Mayor James, and Mayor Lucas is now the beneficiary of having $100 million in the bank. When Mayor Funkhauser was there, we actually wrote a bad check to bail out the ambulance service.
Oh, wow.
So that tells you how far we've come.
Ooh. Advice for the new guy or girl, whoever it is.
I would say have fun. Enjoy meeting the people in the city from all walks of life, rich, poor, east, west, north, south, great, passionate people in the city who care passionately about this city. Most importantly, appreciate the work that the men and women of Kansas City, Missouri do. That was the best part of this. 4,400 men and women. They don't do it for the money. You don't get rich working in the public sector. They're passionate about serving their communities. We always said it was neighbors helping neighbors. And that was the best part of that job, was just working with some really passionate, really creative, smart people who cared passionately about the city and had nothing better to do every morning than get up and try to make the city a little better than they found it. And that was fun to work alongside of them.
I have rapid fire 6 questions for you on the way out. Are you ready?
All right.
First question, what happened to the Chiefs on Sunday?
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you.
Jamie did it in 30 seconds. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Jamie summed up the loss.
Started good, went bad.
Question number 2. Where were you when the Royals won the World Series?
I was in my living room with my then, I think he was 10 years old, son. I let him stay up that night.
Did you take him to the parade?
We took him to the parade. He actually got to ride in the parade. And I will always be criticized. He was mad at me because he didn't get to see the players. We were in the fire truck at the very front of the parade. He got to wave to the crowd, but he was mad that he hadn't get to spend the time at the Sprint Center getting all the autographs from them.
Can't win. Can
so you? I said, maybe, man, in 30 years, you'll appreciate that.
Gosh. Most underrated spot to see or do something fun in Kansas City?
Oh, that's a good question. I love the City Market. I think it's just a great, and I love the riverfront. I think those, and we're working on a pedestrian bridge that'll connect the City Market and the pedestrian bridge. I think the riverfront's going to be kind of the it space in the next couple of years. I love what John Stevens and the Port's doing down there to bring residents mixed income with the infrastructure, with the Bond Bridge on the east side and a new Buck O'Neill Bridge on the west side. I think it's going to be the skyline view and really going to be the area that's going to be fun. That just, you can relax, you can stretch out, you can walk, you get to see the city. And then you connect with some really good stuff in the city going on.
Favorite watering hole or spot for a cocktail in Kansas City?
Oh, boy, there's a lot of them. there are some. I love what Andy Rieger is doing over in the East Bottoms.
Me too.
I got to get a sinkhole fixed that we're working with to get him some flexibility over there on Glenat. What he's doing is really cool. You know, that's what's kind of fun is just the rise of what these urban these little distilleries that are popping up and these little microbrews, and that's what's kind of fun. It's just that organic entrepreneurship that's fun. So there's literally someplace every I've made it a policy. We always try to do something different every time we go out and just hit a different location. That's what's cool. And, you know, I love if you've ever been to Johnny's Burgers and Donuts at 44th and Prospect.
That would be new for me.
Great hamburger and a fried donut. Nothing better. 44th and Prospect.
Look, that sounds like yeah. just that sounds style,
right
buddy.
On my diet it's right just, there.
It's clogging your arteries as you talk about it, but it's, you know.
Somebody you meet from New York says, hey, what's one place I got to go to in Kansas City? What's the one thing you tell people from the coasts who know nothing about flyover country here in Kansas City?
I tell them if they get the opportunity to go to our Performing Arts Center. Because I think they will recognize that that is literally world class, and I think that kind of profoundly. When I look at what our Performing Arts Center is compared to whether it's Carnegie Hall or the Disney in L.A., it's comparable. And I always say, if it's perception that you don't have the same quality of amenities, just go into our Performing Arts Center, take a listen to them as they play the pipe organ in the Symphony Hall and just the Helzberg Hall and just say, all right, tell me any place that's better on the planet than that.
Final question, and this will probably be the determining factor in your approval rating when you leave. The best barbecue in Kansas City is?
Oh, that's a good one.
You're lucky you're not up for election.
Yeah, I
what are they going to do, fire you?
Yeah, exactly. I have always been a fan of Bryant's.
Okay.
As 17th and Brooklyn.
He actually just answered the question with one answer.
That's amazing.
I'm pleasantly surprised. I thought that would be a tough spot for you.
Well, I like Gates.
And I can't complain about any of them. But
thank you so much for coming in.
My
congratulations
pleasure.
On your exit. I know you survived 10 years. It feels like 70, you said. But thank you again I don't know Kansas City any other way, and you have done so much, you know, to make it this way, and the future is bright for Mayor Lucas. Thank you again for what you've done, and thanks for joining us.
Well, and thank you guys for being constant supporters of this city.
We are.
It helps to tell that story about how great this place is, and we need more voices saying all the good things that are going on in
this city. Anytime.
Anytime, absolutely. That is the outgoing city manager of Kansas City, Missouri, Troy Schulte.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.